Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
God is so good. I want you to turn. There's a very serious portion of Scripture I want to read for you this morning, and hopefully we can stir your heart and maybe kind of quicken your desire to draw closer to the Lord, get deeper in His Word, or whatever the end result God wants with this particular message. I think the Lord, it's amazing to me, the kinds of... Do you live like I do? When you're trying to make decisions and such for your life, and you're trying to walk for the Lord and live for the Lord and do the best you can to be a good example and all those things, which is just our reasonable service. I think that's just the least we can do for Jesus, is try to live a way that brings honor to Him. I think that's awesome. I think every Christian tries to do that. But is it me alone, or do you really wonder sometimes if you're making the right decisions, doing the right thing, going the right places and all that kind of stuff, only to discover that in the end somewhere, something confirms that for you? Amen? I live by confirmation. I live by God allowing events to happen, or people to say things, or experiences that I have to confirm that, hey, I'm on the right path. Now, do you need that? I need that. And I kind of live for those moments when God says, yeah, you're right where I want you. You're doing exactly what I want you to do, and I'm going to use you in this particular way. This will become more meaningful as we get a little further into this message. But we're going to be in the book of 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, and I'm going to begin in the 12th verse. And I think I'm going to try, if it's at all possible, with the help and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to read through this first before making any comment on it. And you know how that is with me. That's how sermons get so long, is because I comment and then I preach the sermon. Beginning in verse 12, this is a very serious portion of Scripture, but one that's very enlightening, one that's very powerful, and one that is going to encourage you when we get to the final verse. Between 12 and 19, I'm not so sure, but when we get to the final verse, it'll bring a good conclusion. Beginning in verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's affairs or matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator." You ought to thank God that I was able to do that. This is just for a guy, you read it all the way through, didn't say a word. Praise the Lord. This is a very profound portion of Scripture. And what is doubly amazing is that these words come from the Apostle Peter. Now, you read most of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul wrote most of it, and you get kind of the manner of thinking and the focus that the Apostle Paul has in each setting. But the Apostle Peter has written a couple of books, and he's writing in general to the church. And as he writes this, he's being aware of some specific things that the church people, you and I, should be aware of, and we should understand. That being a Christian has a lot to do with your attitude, with your thinking, with your perspective, with your understanding of Scripture and understanding of God and how He works in your personal life and other people's lives. With the right attitude, you can face almost anything in life and be more than a conqueror. I was about to share a message when Sue spoke up and let the Lord use her. And then I was going to speak right after her and share a word from the Lord. And then Chuck jumped in there, and I'm thinking, well, there ain't no time for three or four of these things, so I better wait and see if another one's going to jump up. But something that was set on my heart when we were standing there in worship, it was something like this. I have smote the enemy in your life. Don't be afraid of he who opposes you. Trust in me, and you shall have the victory. Yeah, give God a hand for that. Praise the Lord. I think that is awesome. All too often we fear the enemy when he has already been defeated. The Lord smote him at Calvary. He's just struggling to exist until Jesus returns again. And he's struggling hard. I know he does things in our lives and creates things and traps. And sometimes we go through trials and such that we often want to sing those old spirituals from the South when came out of that atmosphere of people being in slavery and being in bondage and never having any kind of hope of future or of freedom of any kind. And out of those, the Deep South, came some of the greatest spirituals that you would want to sing, because they come from your own personal human suffering. Am I making sense? And so sometimes we all seem like we're going from one trial to the next trial to the next trial, and there's no rest in between. And maybe that's the wicked thing, though. No rest for the... I don't know. Anyway, but my point is, it seems like we're just, over the last few years, our testing and our trials have been more and more intense and more frequent. Maybe it's just a bad perception on my part, but it just seems like you go from one to the next, and you hear the pastor preaching about how to get the victory, how to stay positive, how to stay victorious, even though we're talking about somewhat of a negative aspect. But there really is victory in Jesus Christ. There is victory over the situation you're in. There's power to live above the circumstances that want to be thrust upon you, or the enemy may be testing you and trying your life with. So God is victorious, and He is working in our lives. And in just a minute, I'm going to bring someone up here to share with you a little bit of what you have invested in, and God has responded in a pretty cool way. But let me begin sharing just a little bit, because there's an interesting perspective that comes out of this. And I think our lives are all perspective. It's however we're feeling, however we're thinking, whatever pressures are upon us, that's how we're perceiving life. And that's the only explanation I can come up with to explain why some people who can live in poverty can be some of the most powerful, positive people. And there can be some people that live in such wealth and material abundance, and yet can be the most miserable people in the world. Well, the truth of it is, it's not material things that make us truly joyful or happy. It is the soul, our soul being blessed by God, that brings us that kind of joy that sustains us. Am I making sense? And so when I look at these things, I see people who also live in poverty that live really low. And that has to be what? That has to be how they perceive life. They're looking at life as being, I'm never going to get any better than this. I'm never going to achieve any more than this. This is my lot in life, and this is where I have to stay. And it's almost like the slaves of the South. They couldn't go. But you can. You don't have to remain in any stage of your life. You can improve, and you can go up beyond that. And what this scripture tells me is some very interesting points that I think Christians struggle with, because we sometimes have the wrong perspective about where we are in life, and that this is not really, folks, this is not really. If you think this is the end and the catch-all of where you're going in your life, I beg to differ with you. If you're a Christian, you're going to be upwardly moving for God. And that may improve your material situation. It may not, but spiritually, you're going to advance. Every Christian should be advancing. Not retreating. Am I making sense? And that's why I think all three of these words, the two that you heard and the one I just shared with you, are very apropos for this moment, because we're living in a time that's going to challenge our faith as never before. And so we're going to have the right perspective, which is the biblical perspective. You see, all this world can do all they want to do, but in the end, eventually, God is going to be in total control. In fact, I think He's in control. He allows things to happen that look like everything's out of control. But trust me, you may not believe this, but one day you will come to this conclusion that I came to a long time ago, because I've been through a lot of baloney, and I've come to the conclusion God's in charge. And you may not think so. You may think that just life does just throw things at you, but He's still in charge of either allowing that into your life or not allowing that into your life. How many of you have had things happen in your life, and when you finally made your way through those circumstances, you came to the conclusion, well, God must have allowed this because now I've got victory at the end of this. Yeah, amen. You gained victory, but you were going through the fire at the time. But at the end of that, you look back afterwards and you look back in retrospect and you realize God had His hand on me all the way through that fire. And you have to come to the same conclusion. God was in control. I was out of control. Hello? But God was in control and was guiding me and helping me go through these fiery trials. And so Peter initially brings this point to us. Don't think it's strange. It is not a strange thing for people to go through trials. It is certainly not a strange thing for Christians to go through trials. Now, if you're a brand new Christian this morning, I want to encourage you. It's not all negative. It's not all a bad thing. But you need to be aware of the truth. And so do older Christians, frankly, need to be aware of the truth that this is not a strange thing happening to us. It's happened since the time Jesus Christ was alive. It happened way back when Adam and Eve were first created. This is what a part of humanity. This is what we are. This is not strange for us to be tested and tried. What we have a big problem with is understanding why are we being tested and tried. And interestingly enough, he sort of addresses that along the way here, and hopefully we'll be able to address that a little bit more. But let me tell you something, what is really awesome to me, and I think very appropriate for us. He's saying in that very first verse, beloved, I think that's a good way to start telling you something bad, amen? Hey, y'all, I love you, but I'm going to tell you something. And so, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. He's not pulling punches here. He's sharing something with God's people that they are already well aware of. You have been through trials. You don't even have to raise your hand to confirm that for me. I know you have been through trials. I know that you may be going through the fire right now. And there are some Christians here this morning. Praise the Lord for that. Let me explain to you this way. Isn't it interesting that there's part of us going through fiery trials, part of us just coming out of trials, and part of us that haven't been in a trial for a while? Amen? And have you noticed that? And so this week, this row are in going through a fire trial. These guys are coming out of one, and the rest of us are doing okay. But next week, it's going to be this group going through the fire. You follow me? And God never lets us all go through it at once, because this church should just fall apart. And so God is wise in what He allows to happen in your lives. It's tailor-made. God focuses what's happening in your life is designed for you. It may look like chaos. It may look like a wildfire has hit your life or whatever, but really, God tempers everything and allows what happens in your life. And I know some horrendous things have happened in your life. You may want to argue with me about this, but trust me, this is what's happened. Nothing is going to happen in your life that God is not going to allow. And if He allows it, He is certainly going to temper it through Jesus. Can you imagine some of the trials you've gone through as a Christian, going through them without Jesus first being tempering it and filtering it before He allows the fire to hit you? So you may be going through some really hot fire, but what would it be like if Jesus was not with you tempering that fire? And that reminds me of a few boys that were thrown into a fire, and when the king looked in, he saw, well, I thought we threw three in. There's four in there. Oh, and that other one, he happens to looks just like the Son of God. So you don't go through trials by yourself. You may think that this happens to you. Now, you even create your own problems sometimes. But God still goes through with you, the trials and problems with you, even if you created your own trial. Amen? Has anyone ever done that? Now, you're a little more reluctant to raise your hand on that one, amen? Yeah, I got myself in trouble, and here I am. Well, the awesome thing about it is it's not a strange thing. Every one of us have gone through this. Every one of us have made bad choices and paid the consequences of them. Every one of us have had just life throw troubles at us and all kinds of manner of which circumstances are come upon us. But it's not strange. We all go through this. And that is a comforting thing for me. Not that you have to go through fiery trials, but it's a comforting thing that I know that I've got a brother that understands what it is to go through trials and tests, and will stand with me while I... See, isn't that the other part of it? This group's going through the fire. This group's coming out of the fire. This group it hasn't been in the fire for a while. Isn't that the way God works it? These that haven't been in a fire for a while are helping those that are in the fire. Yeah, we stand together. We're part of the kingdom of God. We're part of God's family. So when you're going through the fire, I'm praying for you. I'm asking God to just temper that fire so it's not as hot as it was. But God, whatever you got to do, help them get through this. But help them get through it with the victory. You know what I'm saying? Conquer it, not be slain by it, but conquer that situation in your life. And I think it can be anything. It doesn't matter what it is in particular, but God wants to do that. And that's why the church is such an important part of the equation. In fact, Bill Hybel, I heard part of his narrative or his speech or his message at Hillsong's conference, and this guy's brilliant. I used to wonder about this guy. I mean, just to be frank with you, I thought the guy was a little out to lunch. And that just goes to show you the pastor's mind is as hard-nosed as I am about my views. Every once in a while, the old pastor can have his mind changed. I'm listening to this guy, and I'm thinking, all this crud that I've heard about this guy, you know what I think it is? I think when people are successful, you've got two kinds of people. You got people that want to help them be successful, and you got people that don't want to help them be successful. And I think a lot of our reputations are formed by those that don't want to see you be successful. Trust me. Think about it. Who is your greatest opposition? People that don't want to see you succeed. And so you hear all this through the grapevine, and so you're thinking, man, that's an odd way to do things. I don't think that guy's a little strange. And I read some of his writings, and I thought, I don't know if I agree with that. You know, and you probably would do the same thing. But I listened to this speech that he gave. This guy's brilliant. This man is a brilliant man. And I didn't realize that, and I came to appreciate him in an instant when I started listening to him, what he's talking about. He's talking about church life. He claims, and I agree with it, that the local church is the hope of the world. And let me tell you, Joyce Meyer, wonderful lady. Billy Graham, wonderful man. All these other great big ministries are awesome, and they touch a lot of people we'll never touch. But they're not the sustainers of the local church and living where you live. And so the local church, whatever church you decide to go to, that's your privilege, is really the hope of the world. It's us living where everybody's living, being able to stand with you while you're going through the fire. I'm over here praying for you. And then when I'm in the fire, I'm depending on you to be praying for me. That's the kind of thing that helps us sustain our Christian walk and our Christian values. And if we lose that, if we lose the fact that the local church is where we gain our strength and gain our encouragement, and we can call upon them at all times, and God will respond and answer by using them to minister to our lives and to confirm things in our lives. And so I'm becoming more and more convinced, not just because Bill Hybel, who has one of the largest churches in America, as far as numbers are concerned, that's not what confirms it for me. What confirms it for me is when we're worshiping here together this morning. This very morning, when we worshiped, the musicians were prayed before service, and as they played and led us in worship and led us to a place of worship, you begin to realize that God has anointed that and God has been moving on that. And while I'm worshiping, I'm sensing the presence of God, and He's actually talking to my heart and ministering to me. Gary, you're a stubborn old brat. You need to wake up a little bit. And so bam, bam, bam. And so I learned things from there. Or He's saying, hey, man, I you're right where I want you. Whatever God needs to speak to us, that's what He's doing. And so when Peter gives us these words, they're strong words. But let me ask you something. What really does enrich your spirit? Me just wanting to talk and oh, you're okay, everything's going to be okay, don't worry about it. Or is it someone telling you, look, you've got to dig in for yourself. You've got to stand for Jesus Christ. You've got to have convictions that cannot be wavering. Which do you want to hear? I want to hear the don't waver. I want to see you have faith and trust God. This everything's okay and we're all okay and we're all going to heaven kind of thing is a bunch of baloney. The truth of the matter is what I need personally, and maybe you will, or maybe you'll identify this, what I need personally is to be able to repent before God and say, God, I am a worm before you. I've not been what you want me to be. I'm not the person you want me to be. All because I want to get better. And I want God to know I'm trusting Him and I need Him to make me better. I can't do it myself. So I want somebody to speak hard to my soul when I need my soul awakened or enriched or taught something or take me deeper into the waters with the Lord, whatever it might be. I want that. I want him to speak harsh to me because it's what really penetrates my spirit and educates me on what God is happen to be doing in my life right now. It was a wonderful thing that he's done for me in the past, and he's going to continue to do those things. But right now, I need the touch of the Lord. And if that means repentance to get to his feet or whatever it means, I want that. And so when Peter starts speaking, and Peter, he's a little harder sometimes than the Apostle Paul. Maybe that's why we hang around with the Apostle Paul more, but listen to this. He's talking about being in a fiery trial, and then he qualifies the trial. Now, if it's a trial you've built on your own, like you've murdered somebody, or you've been a thief, and this is interesting. Listen to what he says. Suffer whatever suffering you'd go because you're a murderer or a thief or an evildoer. And listen to what else he adds there. Murder, okay, I understand that. Thief, yeah, Big Ten, that's in the Big Ten. An evildoer, oh, that's pretty broad in the Big Ten, but it's talking about, covetousness and all that kind of stuff. And doing evil to a brother, okay, I got that. But busybody? So does that mean busybody is as bad as murder? Just a thought. I just kind of blew through my mind. I just thought you might think about that. But think about it. He's talking about serious stuff, but he's not talking about... because, when you get arrested for murder and thrown in jail, there's a certain amount of shame that goes with that, I would hope. I don't know. If you're that far gone, you might not. But I'll tell you what. When I get pulled over by the police officer in the roundabout what really would have embarrassed me if she'd have pulled me out and put me up against the truck. That would have been bad. You know what I'm talking about? That would have shook me a little bit. But what you can always tell when they're a rookie. Does anybody know how to tell when there's a rookie police officer? You're not going to admit it anyway because you're not going to admit to being pulled over. But I'm stupid enough to admit it right out in public. You can always tell you're dealing with a rookie police officer because they will tell you, oh, by the way, this conversation is being recorded. Did you not realize that? That's what that's about. So I get pulled over by this gal, this lady, and that's bad enough. I'm thinking, you expect a cop to come up, big burly guy, you got the cuffs out, and the gun, that. And this little tiny blonde girl, you've probably seen her driving around in a highway patrol car. She whips me over. And all she wants to do is let me know that my license plate has expired. I'm thinking I'm going to jail because here's a rookie. They're recording the conversation. And so I told her, well, that's fine. Go ahead and record it. And that's okay with me. And then I'm thinking, what bad thing have I done, And so I'm looking to see who's driving by in case, one of you members came driving by. And oh, there's Pastor Connor arrested again, So you kind of get the drift of what he's talking about. If you're going to be, in trouble for doing something bad, okay. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about a very spiritual situation that requires us to be on our toes, requires us to be vigilant. You know that word? That's a good word, vigilant. That's always ready, always watching, always prepared. For any situation that's coming your way. And that's the great thing about the Lord Jesus Christ is that he wants to be in those situations with you so that he can make sure that whatever you're experiencing, whatever the trial may be, it might even be like in verse 14, if you be reproached. That's not like getting beaten over the head with a stick. That's like somebody rejecting your message or rejecting you because you're a Christian. Has anyone ever experienced that? Have you had... when I was in high school, I'm just going to... try to bring this to a place where I can bring up the person I want to share with you. When I was in high school, I looked in the mirror one day. First, I asked my mom. I said, Mom, am I good looking? She said, well, son, pretty is pretty does. Now, that may sound like a wise quip, but it made me realize something. Man, you better get a good personality because if you don't have a good face, buddy, you better have a good personality. And so I had all kinds of friends. I had a good personality. I was fun. Had all kinds. I still do. I'm still as crazy as I've ever been. But I have a lot of fun and I had a lot of friends. But when I became a Christian, you know what was interesting to me? No friends. They all left. When I start to tell them about Jesus Christ, and I was the kind of guy that when I would tell them about Jesus Christ, I didn't care whether they wanted to hear. They were going to hear it. So that kind of was a carryover of my previous life. But at any point, I wanted to make sure that they heard the gospel. I wanted everybody to know that Jesus Christ saves. It does great things in your life. And so I didn't care how I got the message to them. I got the message to them. And sometimes it was not quite the method Jesus would have used. But anyway. So I decided I better have a good personality so I can have lots of friends that way. And we'll have, you know, have lots of fun and fellowship and all that kind of stuff. But when I became a Christian, I became an outsider, reproached by my friends. Friends. And I'm talking about friends that were friends, like real friends. You know, not just the acquaintance you have and have, run into now and then, but real friends that stood by you in the tough times. When you were in a fight, they were there fighting with you, that kind of stuff. And bingo, they were gone. And so there I was, serving the Lord all by myself, you know. And I wasn't lonely. Me and Jesus were having a great time. But I realized that slowly my friends stopped hanging out, stopped coming by, stopped calling. Well, one of the reasons is because I didn't do the things that they wanted to do anymore, and that was part of it. But the other part of it is they didn't want to hear the gospel message. They didn't want to hear about Jesus Christ changing their lives. And I researched one of my friends along, maybe a couple years ago. I researched one of my friends trying to find out where he's at. And discovered that he died over here in Idaho. And this guy was a great guy, but he came from a family they were basically alcoholics. And he was pretty much an alcoholic also. I love that. I love that. I'm sorry. That makes the sermon so much better. I love that. That's just great. Don't you love those little runts? I think they're wonderful. Anyway, so my guess is that he died due to drink because he became an alcoholic after we kind of split apart friendship-wise. But here's the thing. I took the time to share the gospel with him. And I noticed that, you know, I'd share it with other people, and they will at least listen to you, even though they didn't want to make a commitment or anything like that, but they would listen to you. So I'd share Christ with him, and it was like talking to the wall. You know what I'm talking about? You tell him about the wonderful love of Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden, you could just see the switch turn, and they didn't want. So I'm praying that he found Christ before he died, but I don't know. But what the point of the matter is that sometimes we suffer reproaches, and sometimes don't even realize we're being reproached, but we're being reproached for Christ's sake. You are a Christian, and by the way, you don't even have to know what's happening. Hello? You can have people reproach you, reject you, do all kinds of manner of things against you, and you don't even know what's happening. And then when you think it's happening, oh, it's because I wasn't a good worker, I wasn't a good what this or that, and it has nothing to do with any of that. It has everything to do with your stand for Jesus Christ. There are people that will reproach you because you got a Bible on your desk. There are people that will come against you because you are a Christian. Oh, by the way, many of them this morning know that you're at church. They know you're here. And oh, by the way, I've got a book, and if they ever ask, I'm going to show them your name so they'll know that you come to this church. And so you'll be reproached. How's that? The problem is that we as Christians are going to go through fiery trials. That's well established. You already know that. But it is what's our thinking about the fiery trial? That's the issue. And Peter's trying to form our minds, trying to transform our thinking, trying to bring it to the place where we understand what's happening to us and don't let that be such a shock to our faith in Christ. See, that's one of the things that causes us to stumble. How could God let this happen to me? But according to the last verse, verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God. You don't like to think about that, do you? You don't like to think about the fact that God allows suffering in your life. But it's through suffering Jesus transforms you. But what is the thinking that Peter wants you to think? What is he trying to think? Because I'm going to tell you what, when I get into trouble or get into a fight or some kind of an issue or a problem like that, let me tell you something. I'm not real happy. Are you? Do you say, oh, I'm in a trial, praise the Lord. I'm not into that. To me, that sounds like craziness. I'm not happy. Lord, I tell the Lord I'm not happy. And I'm sure you've done the same thing. Lord, this is not good. Get me out of this. I don't want to be here. But what he's wanting you to realize, the bigger picture, what's really happening. It's not anything against you personally. It's the fact that he's fighting your foe, the enemy of your soul. He's fighting him by allowing you to go through these things and be victorious, to show the enemy he is defeated, and to show you that you can make it, that you're not stuck here, that there is hope for you, that you can move on and upward, and you don't have to remain stagnant in your faith, but you can be alive and victorious regardless of what's happening in your life. Let me give you an example. There are people that have gone through things in this church. Some of you have known it because some of you have invested in it. That I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know, you know, just from the human perspective, I don't know how they made it. And I don't know how the individual I'm going to ask to come up here and share with you made it. Except I do know. I know Jesus Christ can do anything. Now, everything is not okay. Not all things are worked out. But the things that God has done are proof that God is God. And that there's nothing in your life God cannot address and bring it to be to a positive situation. Amen? I believe God can take the negative and turn it into a positive. And I believe he can take the positive and turn it into something great in your life. Heather, I want you to come on up here. Some of you know the situation that he's been going through. This boy was, is this mic on? Can you turn it off for me? Because in a minute, if I can stop talking, I'm going to let him talk. I don't know if it's on here. Hang on a sec. It's on? It's on back there, but it's not on here. There we go.
There it is.
I think it is. Hang on just a second. Here's a guy who, by choice, bad lifestyle. Some of you know him better than I know him in those areas. Moms know better and all that kind of stuff. Came to know Jesus Christ. Started turning his life around. Has he been perfect? No. We're not talking perfection. We're talking Christian. Amen? Whoever thought Christians were perfect needs to be slapped. That's my opinion.
It's not perfection.
Just a thought. But we're being perfected as Christ does good things in our heart and our lives. But a long time ago, kind of like on the doorstep, his boy was presented to him. And the mom wrote a note and all this stuff. I don't want to have anything. You got all the rights to this kid and all of that kind of stuff. And so he's been raising Nico for some time, totally by himself. Not being selfish, not restricting her from having input into his life. But raising this kid took on the full responsibility. And here's the interesting thing about that. I think, one, that helped Nico because he's in a better environment. But two, it helped this guy. Because taking on the responsibility of a parent does something in here. And I think Peter's alluding to that. You're going to go through suffering. You're going to go through fire. And I know this is old stuff to all you old Christians. But this guy's story just touched me this morning in such a good way. And I'm sitting there, got my notes all out there, and I've been reading and studying and all that kind of stuff. And he walks in. I want to tell you an awesome testimony. You know we've been praying for him and his court battles to get full custody of, because he's come back now wanting to have custody of the kid. And we've been praying for him to fight hard. Well, the problem is, he lost his job, hurt his back, lost his job. You heard the story. We asked you to give to that. Do you know this church raised in just that morning $600? He needed, what, 400?
$300.
And God will at least double that. I don't know how much anybody else came up and shook your hand about.
A lot more.
Cool. Praise the Lord. I was only aware of that much. But at any rate, God provided for him to be able to do the court thing and so on. But still, they need to get a lawyer. Lawyers want money. Amen. Are you still with me? Don't go to sleep on me now. Because this testimony is going to bless your heart. And so I'm thinking, you know, this is all how we look at it. And he's sitting there telling me this morning, and I'm thinking, this is exactly what Peter's talking about. Fiery trial, left and right. I'll let him tell you about it. I don't want to get into it, but I just want to set the stage for this. Because some of you invested in him. The transportation thing, you need to get that in there too, because that is a God thing all the way. But anyway, what I want you to realize is your investment by giving, because you had the right attitude in helping him at that time, God not only met that need, but let him tell you now what all God has done up to this point. It's not all over with yet, but share with them what you shared with me in the office, because I think they need to hear that. Yeah. I think it's awesome. Go right ahead, man.
First off, I want to thank everybody for helping me out and praying and everything. It all helped. He's right about going through the fire, being drugged through all that. Sometimes I feel like I'm the coat that's laid down on the hot coals so people can walk over, because I've been drugged for so many years, so just being burned and scorched, scorned. But with prayer and this church and God in my heart, He's pulled me out of that. Yeah. Not completely, but we're getting there. Was it 2 weeks ago, I needed a prayer. I needed help financially because I didn't have any type of money. I'd hurt my back. I was on layoff. I couldn't get any help from the state to get any doctors to take a look at my back. And finally, I did. They said I wasn't able to work because I had torn ligament. I was in a lot of pain. Didn't want to take the pills they were giving me because, you know, that's another type of addiction that, you know, nobody needs. So I opted not to, and I just continued in prayer. Last 2 weeks ago when I did come to church, everybody prayed and the whole church helped me out, and I was able to make what I needed financially at that point plus, and that was a God-given. That was a blessing. The following week, which was last week, I had one of my friends called me by mistake. He missed out somebody's number and was talking to me and didn't realize that he was talking to me until I started telling him about the situation I was going through, an update of me and Nico. And I had worked with him, so he kind of knew. And finally, when I got towards the middle of my conversation, he realized it was me. He says, "Well, what type of work are you doing right now?" I said, "I'm not doing nothing." And he says, "Well, do you want to work?" I said, "Yeah, but you know, my back's been hurting." And he said, "Well, if you want to work, come over to this job site. I can get you on right now." I said, "I'm about 2 blocks away. I'll be right there." As soon as I, not even literally 5 minutes, I was there. I was talking to him. He was telling me what was going on. They need a landscaper. I said, "I'll do it." He says, "But you're back. What about?" I said, "Don't worry about it. God's got it. I'll pray for it, and something will happen." I said, "I just need some type of financial, you know, stability." So within 5 minutes, the owner of the house comes. He goes over. He says, "You know what, because I know your situation." He's kind of telling me and giving me a little update of what's going on and stuff. And he says, "This is what I need done. You think you can do it?" I said, "I know I can do it." He says, "You got the job." So then I'm working. And then last Sunday, coming to church, of all things, the enemy throws another fork in my spoke and blows my engine on the way to church. Didn't even make it out of Yakima. Mom and Fabian, they turn back around. They come and tow me. And we take it to their mechanic. I didn't end up not coming to church. Well, I ended up still going to work. Mom's giving me rides for, you know, until Wednesday. Wednesday, we talked to the mechanic. He says, "It's going to cost you $1,000 just for the engine, $500 for me to install it. $1,500 I'm looking at right there." He says, "Or best case scenario, if it's able to be rebuilt, it's going to cost you $1,600. So either way, I'm $1,500 or $1,600. And I asked him, I said, "Well, is there anything you can do as far as any of the cars on the lot?" He says, "Well, I have a little car here." He goes, "I can sell you that for, I don't know, $2,000 and give you $300 for your car." He goes, "I don't even really want it, but I'll give you $300. I said, "I have $200 on me," and that was with the blessing of the church. He says, "Okay." He goes, "Well, let's do that then." So the Lord blessed me with the car also. I mean, just then, like I said, everybody goes through the trials, everybody goes through the tribulations, but there's always a positive outcome. Philippians 4:6-7 tells you, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything.
Yep.
That's right.
Amen.
And that goes for even your trials. When you're in your trials, you thank the Lord for going through them, because without going through them, you can't grow. I keep telling Mom, "Don't worry, don't worry." She tells me, "I have to, I'm your mom." I said, "Don't." So So the Lord's been blessing me. We're not out of the ballpark yet. I couldn't come up. I still can't come up with the financially for a lawyer, because that's way too much, and I wouldn't even ask the church. It's so much. But I called a number and gave him the whole rundown of what was going on and stuff. And based on my criminal history, they said they're more likely not going to take it. Well, last Tuesday, they called and they said that they approved me for an attorney. So now I got an attorney. And the whole time that all this has been happening, the Lord's been giving me opportunities. And without even thinking, I take them. Opportunities to speak to people about Christ, about what he's doing in my life. And either it's going to affect the person positively, or they're just going to hear me and just put that brick wall or zone out like he said his friend did. It doesn't matter. At least I'm doing my effort and showing that, you know, I am living for Christ. And it's weird because I think that way, but when I look back, I look at everybody that I have spoken to, and they're all pretty much Christian. So I don't know if it's a divine appointment at certain times that I'm put into a certain place at a certain time to speak to certain people, but it affects that person. And I thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good job, buddy. Love you, man. Just stick that in the rack there, will you? No, they'll do it. Praise the Lord. So now I can't preach it any better than just to show you face to face how God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so a lot of it is just our perspective. And what I like about what he shared with us is all the things that happened. Yeah, well, that's all wonderful. And I rejoice and I shout about that. But what excites me the most is his attitude. Don't worry about it, but we'll pray about it. God will take care of it. Leave it for grandma and mom to go ahead and do the worrying. But is that not an amazing illustration? And I think that preaches more than I can preach. Isn't that an interesting and wonderful illustration of how God takes us through the fiery trials? And on the other side, we've grown. We're more mature as a Christian. We have a better outlook on life. Things that are not important are not important. Things that are important are the central things in our lives. And I think Peter probably saw far into our day that we're going to live in a time when we really need to take a stand and trust Jesus Christ with our lives. That's why at the last verse, I'm going to close with this, rereading this last verse, and we'll take communion and we'll leave. Listen to this last verse, because this is awesome. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls, is that not what he's asking us to do? To him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. I want to ask you just one question before we take communion. I want this to be on your mind while we receive the elements. So the ushers can go ahead and come up and get ready to serve us. Has God been faithful to you? Is he a faithful God? I want our focus this morning in our receiving of the elements to be that we receive these in acknowledgement of what Christ, of course, did for us 2,000 years ago. But we receive the elements this morning in acknowledgement of what he's doing in our lives right now. He's being faithful to us. He's never forsaken us. He's never been unfaithful. And so if we commit our souls to him, whatever fire we go through, we'll be able to be victorious on the other end. And frankly, victorious through the fire. Because he is faithful. Our Creator is faithful. That's a pretty good God to serve, isn't it? I love so much the illustration of Hedro's life. This guy, from the moment we've seen him, met him, and he gave his heart to Christ, has been progressively, he gets a fork in the spokes, is that how you said it? get a fork in the spokes now and then, but God has shown himself real. Yeah, I like that too. Knocked down, but never knocked out. Yeah, that's good. And you all have been there, so you know. And I wanted that to him to share that because it speaks better than the sermon I was going to share with you. But this morning when we receive the elements, we want to focus on how faithful God is to us. And each of you can think of the specific thing. Keep that on your mind as we receive the elements, because God is good and he is a faithful God, worthy for you to commit your soul to him. Amen.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.